personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
Been a wild week. Lots of poor officiating across the NFL, Dal. Should we start with that, maybe? Has it felt like officiating has been almost worse this year than normal?
Here's the thing. You can always point to officiating because there's always going to be mistakes made, and there's always going to be calls missed, and there's always going to be subjective leanings. But seriously, you can sit there and dwell all week on a missed call or a bad
call. Jack Sanborn had his interception taken away, Dal.
But the bottom line is, the only time you can really complain about the refs is if you played a perfect game. And as a former player, are there any perfect games, Aaron?
Yes.
No.
I played them every week.
No.
You have no proof that I didn't.
I'm just saying, you and I were talking about some of the missed calls or wish they wouldn't have called that type of calls during Monday night's Eagles-Washington game.
Oh, that, yeah.
And people were kind of upset at the very end of it because Taylor Heinicke took a knee, gave himself up. Well, while he's in the process of giving himself up, the Eagles defender had already started to dive. And let's be honest, you can't stop gravity. And so he dove into him.
Not when you're the size of an NFL player,
no.
Anyway.
So he dove into him and knocked him down. It wasn't egregious, but it was a penalty. It was called a penalty. It was called a late hit because the rules state quarterback gives himself up, you can't touch him.
It's kind of right there with when quarterbacks slide, and at least they fixed that one. They've actually altered that this year, which I'm very pleased with, that if a quarterback slides, official's discretion, if the defender had already begun the process of the tackle, he's good.
Well,
so that's at least nice. I'm glad they did that.
Well, you and I were talking about it, because what that penalty does is it kind of shows you that officials really don't have a long leash. They have a very short leash, in fact, and they are there to dispense the rules as they are written and as they are beaten into their head during officials' meetings and off-season and whatever, and we're going to have an emphasis on this and this and this, and we can't have our quarterbacks getting their head taken off because it's a quarterback-driven league and they make billions of dollars, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so what that is, you know, people were saying, oh, come on, that's not really, it wasn't really a hit. They're just there to call the penalty.
Yeah, they're throwing the flag almost at gunpoint, so whatever. But.
Now, if you want to talk about a missed call, same game, Washington's Jamin Davis, who's actually turned into a good player, thank goodness, their former first rounder.
I was watching that game, by the way, scouting future Chicago Bear Daron Payne.
Well, no. No! I'll give you Montez Sweat, probably, but you can't have Daron Payne.
Daron Payne, free agent this offseason. Who's got more money than us?
I hope we can keep him. I hope he likes to play next to Jonathan Allen for his whole career. Anyway, he basically ripped the face mask off of...
It was an attempted murder
Goddard.
On the play.
Yeah, on Goddard.
Goddard got injured getting tackled by his face mask.
And it was a lost fumble. So... Yeah, if you want to complain about a missed call, there's one.
Yeah.
But if you want to say that other one cost them the game, no, I don't agree with that at all. Because how about the fact that the Eagles, they hit Devontae Smith over the top. He has a nice catch.
Oh, that wasn't
catch.
Smith. That was, who was that? That was one of their reserve receivers who...
Daquan, one of their receivers hit him over the top. He's wide.
Probably should have just stayed down.
He's wide open. He loses the ball. I mean, is that Washington's fault? No. By the way, I'm a Washington fan, and our owner's Dan Snyder. Kiss my butt if you think I'm sad that maybe a call went our way over the course of a game. We have been just absolutely beaten down into a grease spot over the last 30 years. Yeah. It was a nice night.
Meanwhile.
And we're going to enjoy it.
Meanwhile.
We're going to enjoy the nice night.
People in Chicago, myself included, are over here having one of the most fun seasons we've ever had in our lives. And we're 3-7. And we're all celebrating. Why? Because, frankly, let's be honest, even if Chicago squeaks, some of these close games, let's say we squeak out a few of them and we're 5-5. Are the Bears winning the Super Bowl with this defense and these receivers and all that? No, who cares? But Justin Fields has managed to turn himself from, I mean, weeks one through four, obvious bust. Everyone, myself, me on this show, bust. It's his second year. He doesn't put it together. Justin Fields is not the future. Now we're talking about, do we have to draft Bryce Young? Do we have to? Well, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, now he's had, over the last 5 weeks, Justin Fields has the second best quarterback rating in the NFL. He's fantasy quarterback number one, for those of you that care about such things. And he's on pace to actually break Lamar Jackson's single-season rushing record for a quarterback.
Which is nuts. I didn't think anybody'd break that.
So at least we potentially don't have to worry about that position anymore.
Which is huge, considering the fact you've already...
I'm a Bears fan.
Well, you already pointed out they're going to have the most cap space, and they got a bunch of draft picks.
And what's maybe just as important is we all thought, okay, so you trade Roquan so that you don't have to pay him. Maybe you have to fill that hole by just getting like three solid linebackers, and kind of like what the Chiefs did to replace Tyreek Hill is just more. And then, whoopsie daisy, looks like that might not be a problem because we have that undrafted kid, Jack Sanborn. We throw him into the game, his first NFL game. He leads the NFL in tackles in week 10. Four tackles for loss. He gets a pair of sacks, and he should have had an interception, but I talked about that earlier. A phantom hands to the face on the D-line. And if you YouTube it, by the way, it's a pretty impressive interception, too, by the way. It looked very Urlacher-esque. He went skyward, showed off what looked like a 40-inch vertical to go get that thing over the middle. I like what Jack Sanborn showed out with. If he can just step right in and say, well, how about this? How about you just essentially keep Roquan Smith, except I cost an eighth of the price. That would be massive.
Yeah.
And if that's what happens.
And then in 2 years, when he's outplayed his contract, he can demand a trade.
Well.
Because he's being underpaid. Pay your good players, Chicago. There's an idea.
Well, part of the issue is, and I believe it's been brought up on several of the bigger.
You're perfectly willing to pay Washington's good players. Why don't you pay your own?
In the modern NFL, is giving a middle linebacker a $120 million contract, which is what Roquan reportedly wants, the best way to win to build a championship team? We got rid of Khalil Mack because we thought that, well, if we're going to put too much money into one player, now we can't build a roster. And if you're going to get rid of Khalil Mack because you don't want to commit that much money, I doubt you're going to turn around and give that same money to Roquan Smith. I mean,
that's a good point.
You know.
What else happened this week? Oh, our local team.
The Star Valley Braves. Wyoming State Champs.
Right. State Champs ended a 26-game winning streak of their opponent.
Who wrote the headline on the paper this morning, by the way?
I did.
Very nice. We're calling it The Catch.
Why not?
You should have made it grainy. Put the 1980s film grain filter over it.
Well, I'm not a designer. I am but a simple writer and broadcaster. I am not a designer.
Would have been brilliant.
But hats off to the local team, Star Valley Braves. Fifth title in the last since 2015. The interesting thing about that is we had gone over 20 years in between titles and since then, or during that span, and that was a big chunk of my career. In fact, you want to know how long I've been doing that, Aaron? I covered Duke Dance, our coworker, his junior and senior year as a football player. That's how old I am. So, there you have it.
Oh, and of course, we would be remiss as sports talk heads, I guess, if we didn't discuss the Vikings-Bills game being declared game of the year. You and I both rolling our eyes so far into the back of our heads.
It's not the game of the year.
It probably was if I didn't hate it so much.
It's not the game of the year.
Okay. There you have it, folks.
And I'm also going to throw this out there as a Bills liker, lover of Josh Allen. They've lost three games.
Mm-hmm.
They're 6-3. They're third in the AFC East, so people are starting to go, they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
They've lost all three games by a total of 8 points.
Well, and quite frankly, their three losses came in, well, except the Miami game where Allen actually played well, but did miss one throw at the goal line where I genuinely was baffled that it came from Josh Allen.
Here is my opinion.
The other two came in Josh Allen's two worst games of the entire season.
Well, and here's my opinion, because these looked suspiciously like the Josh that I watched in Laramie. And I loved the Josh that played in Laramie. Don't get me wrong. I watched him probably 15 times in person. I mean, I fall as far as road games and home games are concerned. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it wasn't quite that many. It was a lot, though. It was double digits for sure. And Josh would do things that you just, your mouth would go agape. You're like, how the hell did he do that? How did he find that guy? How did he get the ball to that place with that velocity? But when he was at Wyoming, he tried to do too much. And he tried to involve people, players that maybe weren't quite open. And so he kind of had a gunslinger mentality. In fact, we were like, the guy looks like Brett Favre.
That's what I was about to compare him to.
He looks like Brett Favre that can run.
Is this the modern mobile QB era version of Brett Favre?
So anyway, so literally in 2017, the Wyoming Cowboys made the Mountain West Conference Championship, hosted it actually, played San Diego State, lost on the last drive of the game. Josh threw a pick. They get a bowl game. They go to the Poinsettia Bowl. This is Josh's sophomore year, keep in mind. Mm-hmm. They go to the Poinsettia Bowl in San Diego. They play BYU, a hated rival by Wyoming. It's back and forth. Wyoming gets the ball. They're down, but they're moving the ball down the field. Oh, we're going to win this game. Interception, Josh Allen. Bad throw. Bad decision. He's trying too hard. These last 2 weeks, that's what he... I have a strong opinion about this. There was a graphic that came up about 3 weeks ago, and it showed the Bills touchdowns. It says Bills have scored 23 touchdowns and Allen was responsible for 21 of them. Mm-hmm. People are like, wow, you know, MVP, blah, blah, blah. He's not really like that. He doesn't necessarily want to be that guy. I think he has been trying these last two games, especially too hard to get teammates touchdowns in the red zone. I think instead of just taking what's there and getting a rushing touchdown for himself, I think he's trying too damn hard, and he's forcing the ball. Bad throws, bad decisions.
That sounds like me when I'm playing like a Madden franchise.
Exactly.
And part of my brain says, you know what? I don't want unrealistic stats because it's a franchise mode. I don't want my good receiver to score 50 touchdowns. Let me start throwing some touchdowns to these other guys. Oops.
Yeah.
I keep throwing incompletions and interceptions.
If you look at these last two games and the red zone intercept, keeping in mind, up until these last two games, he literally was one of the best quarterbacks in history in red zone efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
He did not throw picks. They would put it up there for like in year four.
Well, you know what's weird?
And so now he's doing it, and people are like, what's going on? He just needs to calm down.
You know what's really weird? Have you noticed, too? Now, I have Josh Allen in fantasy, so I'll pull this up as fantasy numbers because it kind of speaks to you get negative points for turnovers. We'll back out right here. Josh Allen, before his bye week, the lowest point total he had scored all season was 33 points, and was opening day against the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
And he torched the Rams.
Yeah, the Rams were actually healthy then.
33, 42, 39, 41, 56, 35. Those were his fantasy numbers. Then a bye week in week 7. Comes out of the bye. Green Bay, 17 points. 16 against the Jets, 20 against Minnesota. I don't know what he did on that bye week, but did he spend two consecutive weeks drinking? Is that...
Maybe someone should check and see where Giselle has been. Because she's a football cancer.
But anyhow, yeah. Apparently the worst bye week ever was had by Buffalo.
My opinion, Josh trying too hard to get his teammates involved. Aaron's opinion, he's a drunk.
Yes.
Those are the... So it's one of those two, or something in between.
Could be anything else.
Personally, I just think he's trying too hard. He seems to take what the defense has given him, which, quite frankly, if he will take what the defense gives him, they will be dominant. They can't be stopped. They can only stop themselves, and that's what we're seeing. Those three losses, they stopped themselves.
Yeah,
but that's also the NFL. You know, you're going to get everyone's best shot now. You know, your quarterback is getting referred to as Superman and a cyborg and all these things, and you lead the league in offense and defense, you're going to get everyone's best shot.
Well, and lest we forget that last year the Cincinnati Bengals walked into the playoffs. I don't even know if they were favored in a single one of their playoff games, including the one they got at home. But as it turns out, you can go through slumps, make people suddenly not believe in you, but if you still have the talent available, the second you get on a hot streak, all you need is a playoff spot and you're golden. Buffalo has the talent on that roster to go on one hot streak if you let him in the playoffs.
And it's true. And if you're wanting to be a little bit of a downer, yes, they need to recover, because what the ultimate goal is, at least on paper,
for them, it should be the Super Bowl.
Well, it is. But you want home field. You want Kansas City to come to Buffalo, is what I'm saying. You don't want to go to Kansas City and have to try and win. I mean, can they win there? Certainly they can.
They did earlier.
Would you rather play that game in Orchard Park? Of course you would. That's what's at stake right now.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to play Kansas City in Orchard Park, or are you going to play them at Arrowhead?
Well, and what else is at stake is that now they have to beat Miami. They will have to beat Miami head-to-head to take that spot.
I'm not worried about Miami in the least.
You don't have to be worried about them, but where they are in the standings, that's now technically something that the coaches have to worry about, is say, well, now we got to beat Miami head-to-head.
I think Miami is enjoying a nice run. They are.
I still think that Tua is right back to exactly what I said he was at Alabama, and now people, just like they were in Alabama, are hyping him up. When he still cannot hit receivers in stride and he still can't throw into tight windows. But he's throwing to guys that are so open that they can stop running, slow down, catch the ball, and then keep running for big yards. Well, and Tua's stats look good anyway.
And I'm fine with what he's doing. Did he get any bigger? Did he get more muscle on him to take hits? This is a guy that has not been healthy his whole career. He's finally healthy. He's putting up good numbers. What's going to happen when he gets dinged up again? It's going to happen. He's not very big.
Even if he doesn't, I still think people are overhyping the whole, dude, look at his numbers. His numbers, he's throwing to guys with 20 yards of separation. He's not even hitting them in stride.
Yeah.
They're just so fast, they can't not catch these balls.
So, yeah, I guess, again, maybe I'm sounding disrespectful to Miami, especially since they've won one of those games. But up until that game, Miami, Josh Allen owned them. Siegfried owned Roy.
The way that this is going to go is that I really don't like the Kansas City Chiefs. So Miami is going to get all this hype. They're going to run into the Chiefs in the playoffs. Yep. So finally, I'm going to root for Miami.
And the Chiefs.
And that will be the game where Tua gets a little bit exposed. And I'll go, really? You waited till now?
Yeah.
It used to be New England that used to do that to me, where I'd be like, man, I really don't like this Pittsburgh team. They're super overrated. Well, crap, now they're playing New England in the playoffs. Fine, I'll root for Pittsburgh. Oh, my God, now Pittsburgh sucks. Why? Actually, Alex Smith's Chiefs used to do that a lot, too.
Yeah.
I used to not root for them. Then they'd play New England. I cave. I say, fine, I'll root for you now. Then they suck. And I'm... Why do you do this, Kansas City?
And so also, I need to be a little more braggadocious about the fact that the Washington Commanders... knocking off the Eagles, an undefeated Eagles team, that entire pregame was nothing but a butt-kissing fest for the Eagles and their quarterbacks. They go and they sit on the steps of the Philadelphia Museum of Art, and there's RG3 and Michael Vick and Jalen Hurts and Donovan McNabb, and then they're speaking in hushed, reverential tones about Randall Cunningham, and they've got all these quarterbacks and
I will not tolerate disrespect for McNabb or Cunningham.
McNabb is the most overrated.
He's a Chicago boy.
Well, fine. You can like him because he's from Chicago, but he's an overrated NFL quarterback.
He was so fun.
Anyway, but what I'm saying is, I looked at that and I said, wow, look at that. They got a whole room full of guys not ever going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Running Randall?
He's not in the Hall of Fame.
He's not.
I like Randall. I watched him. Again, this is
what a nice mustache.
Again, this is how old I am. I remember him at UNLV.
So, why were you watching you? Oh, right, Wyoming.
Yeah.
I'm like, why were you watching UNLV?
Remember, you're in the West now. Because we were watching, waiting for the basketball season to start to watch the real UNLV back then with their championship and Tarkanian and all that.
He must have been like your version of Brett Favre, where he surely was so fun to watch, and you were literally banned from ever being allowed to enjoy it because he wouldn't stop playing for teams you must have hated.
Well, he played for the Eagles for 10 years, so yeah. I mean...
Well, I remember
that was enough.
I wanted to root for Brett Favre for so much of my life and never could because he was always a Packer, a Viking. He was a Jet for 1 year.
And now he's
advantage.
And now he's an alleged thief of money from
that's less
poor
fun.
People. That's not exactly a good career turn.
But yeah, lots of interesting happenings across the league. With your win, by the way, not only did you end the Eagles' undefeated season, you're still only half a game behind the 49ers.
We're officially in the hunt. The column that says in the hunt.
Well, you should have been there anyway. You're the first team out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're 5-5.
You're half. Now, I don't know if you're better than the 49ers.
I doubt it. But,
the 49ers could drop any random game, I suppose.
The interesting thing is Washington plays the 49ers here in about a month. So that's coming up. We better get to our picks.
Yeah, we might as well. Thursday night, Tennessee at Green Bay. And I'm assuming that much of the media is thinking, oh, well, the Packers just beat Dallas. Are they back? Are the Packers riding the ship? I'm going to say that no. No, they are not. Tennessee will win this game. Green Bay has a very, very, very suspect run defense. And that is not the thing that you want heading into a game against the Tennessee Titans.
Especially since Derrick Henry is coming off a game where he rushed for like 50 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Derrick Henry is hungry.
He very rarely does that twice in a row.
Well, especially when they're going to be... It's going to be a nationally televised game. Granted, it's the prime game, but still.
Now, the last time the Titans played a run defense that ranked in the bottom 10 of the league was Kansas City, and the Titans threw 5 passes in that game, and Derrick Henry almost beat the Chiefs by himself, and the Green Bay Packers are not the Kansas City Chiefs.
No. I think not only does Tennessee win, I think they win by a couple of scores. I think they win by at least 10. How about that?
Maybe. I'm not sure that I'm going to go that far just yet because Tennessee did just barely beat Denver.
I can say that because it's not being written down or saved anywhere.
Oh, perfect.
I mean, other than the podcast, but that doesn't count.
So.
You're up next, my friend. It's the Bears.
The Bears and the Falcons. It is a road game. The Bears haven't won on the road all season. Oh, really? Yes, they have. They beat New England. My apologies. But they've been significantly worse on the road. Although, here's the interesting one. Justin Fields' photographs of him as a kid in Falcons gear surfacing all over the internet once again. He grew up a Falcons fan, a Georgia boy. Going home, his family's going to be there. Will Justin Fields have another spectacular game? Will he show his Mike Vick-esque rushing ability? I'm going to say probably. Justin Fields comes out. Let's give him another... I don't know if he's going to have a fourth consecutive 4-touchdown game. Give him at least 3. Justin Fields has a great game. Bears defense chokes it away at the end. Falcons win, but Fields looks good.
You fooled me there. I'm actually picking the Bears. I have no faith in the Falcons.
That's fair. I mean, this is the epitome of, well, do you have a quarter I can flip?
Yeah. By the way, I'm still in 6th place.
Yeah, the only reason I'm taking Atlanta is... The Bears have been worse on the road this year.
I think they break through and win this game.
I would be very excited if Fields could. Although, I talked about this in my group chat with all my other Bear fan friends.
The one other Bear fan that there is.
Yeah. and we play the Jets next week after this.
Oh, please destroy
them. And so, we were discussing, we said, I don't think the Bears are good enough to win 2 games in a row. So we have to choose now. Does Justin Fields win in his hometown, or does Justin Fields keep... You know, he's undefeated against the rest of the 2021 draft class.
Well, if he's going to pick one, then please beat the Jets.
We all voted and we said, you know what, you can lose in front of your family. They'll all pat you on the back, make you feel better, and then beat Zach Wilson next week. I'd love for him to be 5-0 against the 5 other quarterbacks from that draft class.
That would be nice.
He's beaten all the rest of them. All he's got to do is beat Zach Wilson. Although, we also made this reference. We might have this coming because I recall that Bears fans back in about 2020, I think it was, just plastered the internet being absolutely ruthless to Texan fans about the fact that Mitch Trubisky had a better win-loss career record than Deshaun Watson, and that he was 1-0 against Deshaun Watson head-to-head. Like, because we knew that, you know, we had Mitch Trubisky, we were going to take whatever we could get. I have a feeling this is going to be our recompense for that. The Jets are going to beat us, and so despite the fact Wilson looks like, I don't know, a fifth as good as Justin Fields right now, now it's our turn to have to look at... Yeah, well, look at Zach Wilson's win-loss record, and he's 1-0 against Justin. And we're just going to have to sit there and take it, Dal.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the payment that we must now
I'm burden. Just going to tell you what, I'm actually more optimistic about your Bears than you. I think they win both games. How about that?
I'll take it. I'm optimistic about the future of the Bears. The current Bears have no defense, and when you have no defense, it's very hard to win in the NFL. I'm taking the Falcons.
Speaking of winning... The Buffalo Bills coming off that game at home, hosting Cleveland.
Cleveland's looked really depressing.
Well, and now Dirtbag is back in the building.
Deshaun Only at practice. Watson.
I'm just saying, you think that doesn't affect their chemistry? If I'm Jacoby Brissett, who's performed pretty well this year.
Had a really rough game this past week.
But I just, over the course of his career, here you have a good guy.
He is a fine quarterback.
At least by all accounts that, you know, he's not a sexual monster. He's not assaulted
anyone. We've set
anyone.
The bar fairly low at this yes. point.
Well, he has not assaulted anyone. It's just, and yet Cleveland, I'm sorry, Cleveland should be absolutely eviscerated for what they did this offseason. They gave up all their draft capital and they pushed this giant dump truck full of money to this guy that I don't even think should be eligible to play. Now,
of course, he's
going
to come back
to
play the Texans.
Yeah.
How wild is that?
What a coincidence.
What a kooky little coincidence.
Anyway,
that is.
Buffalo bounces back in a big way. I think they rough up Cleveland. They seriously rough up Cleveland.
I think that that's very probable at home. You just said Josh Allen's coming off his two worst games of the entire season, back to back weeks, two losses in a row. And they have that defense.
Yeah.
And Cleveland's offense has been...
They're not going to be able to throw the ball.
Yeah, this will be Nick Chubb trying his best to carry the entire Cleveland Brown roster
and
by himself.
And he might at times, but...
I'm guessing Cleveland sniffs 20 points and we all think, wow, that's better than I thought they'd do. And they still lose about 38 to 20.
And see, I don't think it's that close. I think it's going to be like...
Well, it's still an NFL game.
But I think it's going to be like... 31-10.
I bet Cleveland musters up at least one garbage time touchdown.
Right. Well, we'll
that's
see.
That's like an NFL guarantee.
The next
garbage time is for fantasy football, baby.
Speaking of which,
I need my Amari Cooper touchdown with 18 seconds left.
You need your Two Hill defensive touchdown for Washington in Philadelphia as basically time expires. Touchdown.
Oh, speaking of Philadelphia, I almost wanted to just pick the Colts this week as whoever they were playing, like as I flipped over not knowing who they were playing, I'm like, you know what, maybe Jeff Saturday is some weird guru of momentum. They're on a play for him there, and then I looked and I get it, they just lost for the first time this year. I don't know that I'm going to pick the Colts to beat the 8-1 Philadelphia Eagles
coming
though.
Off a loss. I'm going to say no. That being said, you brought this up to me and it was also brought up during the national broadcast. The blueprint may be out on the Eagles. If you pound them up the middle and stay true to the run, they are susceptible. And, of course, Indianapolis does have a fine running back in Jonathan Taylor. So, is that enough? We will see. Maybe Indianapolis gives him the ball 35 times, and that makes a big difference. Or, I don't know. I mean, and they bring Matt Ryan back, who, quite honestly, looked very Matt Ryan-esque last week. He's still a good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I just... I'm picking Philly, but it will be interesting to see if that really is the book on Philly or if it was just that one game against Washington. So I'm picking Philly. Absolutely.
All right. And by the way, speaking of that broadcast, this might be a controversial point, but just look at the talent they have around him, and I dare anyone to watch, at least recently, just watch them throw the football. and see which one throws a more accurate, more decisive ball into tight windows. They started talking about, in the pregame, as they covered what happened through the week, they got to the Bears game, they were talking about Justin Fields, and they said, get him a little talent around him, I could see him becoming Jalen Hurts and being a real good quarterback. And I don't know, maybe there's some controversy to this statement. Right now, and I do mean right this minute, not next year, if someone said, would you flip right now? Would you trade Justin Fields to the Eagles to get Jalen Hurts back? I would say no. Straight up, I think Justin Fields is playing better on this Bears team than Jalen Hurts would be if he was over here with the crap offense Maybe. That we have around him. I've not been impressed with Hurts. I think he's better than I thought he was going to be in the offseason, but he's got a bit of a Tua thing going. He says, well, here, I can throw the slant route to A.J. Brown, who takes it 80 yards.
Again, I think Philly kind of got caught drinking the poison this week, too. They got thinking how good they were, and they forgot. And they're playing a team that, quite frankly, they embarrassed Washington in Washington earlier this year. And I think they got reminded that this is still the NFL, and these guys, guess what? They pay their players, too. And they have pride, and they don't want to get embarrassed again. Anyway, I do think they bounce back, but I think this could be a much more competitive game than people think.
This will be one of those where you're kind of shocked at halftime, and then the Eagles end up winning at the end. But you're wait, why didn't you win by more?
I could see the Eagles maybe getting to Matt Ryan a couple of times and maybe getting a forced fumble or a pick, and that ends up being kind of one of the big turning points. Next game, I hate Zach Wilson. Go Bill Belichick and the Patriots.
I actually had the Patriots picked until 8 seconds ago. I'm flipping it up.
Trying to catch me? Is that what this is?
No. Because I remembered that we did this last time, and the Patriots did end up winning the first game.
That's right, they did.
The Jets still seem like a better overall football team than the Patriots right now. I feel like they're at least splitting. So based on that logic, I'm taking the Jets. I shouldn't. My brain says the Patriots will win this particular game, but something in my brain says, well, surely they won't get swept by their inferior division rival.
I'm still picking New England because I think Bill Belichick will have some things dialed up for Mr.
Also, Robert Saleh in the top five right now.
I like Robert
AP Saleh. Projections for Coach of the Year.
I like him.
So very nice, Robert. And he's coming off his first bye week as a head coach. We're going to learn a little bit about Robert Saleh this week, I think.
Yeah.
Going to see how you match up with Bill Belichick coming off a bye.
Here's the next game that two teams...
Oh, good holy Lord.
...that are struggling and don't know which way they're headed.
Remember that it was only 3 years ago this was the NFC Championship game? Which Rams, the wrong team won.
Rams at the Saints is who we're talking about. And I kind of got hung up on the Saints are a good bad team a few weeks ago, and so
after losing to Pittsburgh,
and so I kept picking them. I think I'm past that now.
I'm also picking the Rams.
But look who they're playing. Is Matt Stafford going to play?
So here's what I've got the Rams pushed right now to everyone listening. So before anyone,
the Rams are the underdog.
Calls a foul by chance if Sunday rolls around. If Matt Stafford is ruled out, the instant I get that notification, I'm coming in here and I'm switching it to the Saints.
Okay.
Just so we're clear.
I think... I'm gonna pick the Saints. I don't believe in them anymore, but they're at home. And the Rams, there's no Cooper Kupp.
That could hurt.
They might not have Stafford. They look like a team...
Andy Dalton.
That sold their soul for a Super Bowl ring, which is fine. People always bring that up. Well, would you have five crappy years if you win a Super Bowl? And almost every fan would say, hell yes. But then once that happens, they're kind of like,
I just keep watching highlights. But remember this? And then I'd YouTube them again.
But this is where the Rams are. They don't have a lot of talent. They're dysfunctional. Their best player is hurt. They're on the road. And they still could absolutely win this. I mean, for all I know, Aaron Donald goes in and rips off Andy Dalton's head drinks his blood out of his skull.
I will say this. If somehow, some way, even if, so let's say Stafford is playing. So I say, you know what, I'm taking the Rams because Stafford is playing. I'll flip it if he's not. If there's some miracle and the Saints say, actually, you know what, Jameis Winston's healthy, we're going to start Jameis Winston, I will flip it for that as well. Winston would beat Stafford. Jameis Winston would be a better quarterback right now for this New Orleans Saints than Andy Dalton.
And if he would do normal workouts, I think he'd be healthy. The entire offseason, how many videos did you see of Jameis Winston doing something weird? Something weird and like a core exercise. It was supposed to be some kind of core exercise. And it's like, what the hell are you doing? It looks like something a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old would make up and say, look, Mom, I'm exercising. And then over the course of the season, he gets hurt. How about you try some of the tried and true methods, Jameis, and stay healthy? He's always doing something weird with an inflatable ball or a rubber band or something.
Doing running back drills was my favorite.
Yeah.
He ran through the gauntlet.
Yeah.
And he fumbled like 3 times.
Yeah.
He had to keep picking up the ball, running again, fumbling again.
Anyway, he is a weird guy because he's a guy that...
Entertaining, though, when he's not on your team.
I say we've seen him throw for almost 5,000 yards and he could throw for 40 touchdowns or he could
Remember
throw
his 30
interceptions.
Season?
Yes.
That was my favorite.
His 30 for 30 means something totally different than everybody else in sports.
And what's amazing is I know, you know, when he was coming out of college, there was that whole crab legs that he stole from a...
Who cares?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. Especially since Winston claims to this day it was a misunderstanding.
Well, not only
a straight
that.
Up theft.
Not only that, especially since they have the name, image, likeness thing now. Are you serious? Now, to me, that's a hell of a lot different than Reggie Bush moving his family to L.A. and being given a house. That's too far.
I still, to this day... Do not blame Reggie Bush for that.
You can not blame him, but that's still against...
It's against the rules.
Way against the rules.
But Pete Carroll needed to take way more
absolutely.
Of the punishment than he ever got for
For all we know, he brokered the whole thing.
Obviously he did. He was the head coach.
But Jameis Winston, I think it was probably like, oh, cool, somebody bought me crab legs. Thanks, guys. I'm Jameis Winston. I mean, let's be honest. I'm a nobody. But in this town... I've had my lunch bought for me before. It's nice.
That's awesome.
It's nice. Once in a while it happens.
But anyhow, the point of that was that I know that's a thing that people for some reason remember about Winston that's going to almost counter what I'm about to say. If it wasn't for that incident that muddles that, he seems like such a nice guy.
Yeah, he probably is
He's a weird dude. So I'd love for him to be like my backup quarterback or a teammate. I'm sure he's super cool.
I still don't know what to think of him, but I'm going to pick the Saints in this one.
So you all heard my weird formula for what I'm taking.
Yes,
so.
I heard that.
By the way, you complained last week that you thought the Giants were the luckiest team in the
history
of the planet. You've seen the schedule, right? You see who they're playing.
Not only that. So after Washington beat Philly, I told my brother, who's also a longtime Washington fan, I said, we're beating the Giants twice this year. Do you know how often Washington beats the Giants twice? Never. Never happens. And I'm like, there is nothing about the New York Giants that I look at and go, oh, yeah, they're, oh my goodness. Oh, they're a paper tiger. And either they're going to be exposed over the next 7 weeks or whatever's left, or they're going to be exposed in the first week of the playoffs. So they can pick.
I still have to take them this week is the problem.
I'm not. I'm picking freaking Detroit.
I can't believe
I'm doing it, but I am. I think Detroit, they got to win. They got a little taste of success. They've got Amon-Ra St. Brown back. They got Jamal Williams who's running hard.
Ooh,
Swift is running hard. I'm picking the Lions.
So here we go. New York really needs to beat the Lions, so I was about to pull this up to see if I was going to laugh or what. So we've been talking about the Giants have had the easiest road to 7-2 any team has ever mustered. Peep what happens after Detroit when they get to 8-2. Dallas in Dallas,
okay.
Who's healthy now, and that defense is legitimate, and I hate them.
Yeah.
They suck. They lost to Green Bay, like...
Yeah, what's
stupid,
up with that?
Stupid, retarded losers. I hate you. Anyway, good other than that, Washington. Philadelphia, Washington again, Minnesota, Indianapolis, and then I'm on the fantasy app, so I can't see who they play week 18. Let me look that up. But that's quite a jump in difficulty all of a sudden randomly. So,
well, and I still don't know what Washington is, but I know they're going to play them hard and they're going to play them tough. And I just think the Giants, they have taken too much from the football pot.
It so surely far this has to year. Be a division rival.
But they've taken too much for what they are. They're like that skinny guy with a hollow leg that when you go to a buffet and they eats all the best things and it's like, wait a minute. You get to be skinny and eat more than anyone else?
Philly is who they play week 18.
Yeah, so they haven't played Philly at all yet. They haven't played Washington at all yet. So they still have Dallas away.
They're going to go 8-2. They might finish this season 9-8.
I'm picking against them. I think Detroit is going to string together another win, and that will technically be... Someone said this week, well, that's 2 in a row. That's called a winning streak. Detroit, I'm like, no, it's not. It's called back-to-back wins. 3 in a row is a streak, and I think it starts this week.
What Detroit normally does resembles something of a streak.
Yeah,
like the one you find on your underpants.
Ooh, that was a good one.
Yeah.
On the underpants of society.
Carolina at Baltimore.
We don't need to spend much time on this one, do we?
98.04% of Yahoo users are leaning towards Baltimore. 1.96% are down by at least double digits in their pick 'em league and desperate. Washington at Houston.
You know what's crazy about this? Washington is the favorite.
Well, you're playing Houston.
I don't care. I don't know if they've been the favorite the whole season. I really haven't paid attention.
Well, they're the favorite in my own personal brain to win this football game.
And to me too. And guess what? I could absolutely see Washington losing this game in Houston. I really could. I hope they don't. Because you look at Washington's schedule and it's kind of favorable. At least based on what they've already seen. And but I could see them totally blowing this game. But if they don't.
Yeah, then they're 5-4. Or no, they're 6-5.
They'd be 6-5, and they're supposed to get Chase Young back this week. In fact, this is the week.
I picked up the Washington defense in fantasy because Chase Young is back, and they're playing Davis Mills.
Well, but this is the end of the 21-day window. They activated Chase Young from the physically unable to perform. So they either have to dress him for this week.
Or shut him down for the year.
Or shut him down for the year. They're not going to shut him down for the year.
Well, would you not consider, though, if he's like, you know what? It's just, I'm still shaking it out a bit. Would you not just put him in a uniform and waste a roster spot?
Yeah, and then just stand
him
on the
sideline. Go sit on that bench next week.
Especially since, here's the crazy thing about Washington. I think the no-names that they have gotten to try and help them on the D-line have turned out to be pretty damn good. They've got the guys that you know about. They've got Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, Montez Sweat.
Future Bear, Daron Payne.
First-round picks. But then they've got guys like the hyphen. I call them hyphenated guy. It's like Edwards Williams and Ryan Tuhill, and there's like a French guy.
Which is what's on his jersey.
But they're getting it done. And I'm just like, these guys, Ridgeway, they stole him from Dallas. They got him for nothing. And he's done well. It's just, anyway, I'm obviously picking Washington, but I'm still crossing my fingers and puckering my sphincter. So
I know you're not. A part of me still kind of hopes San Francisco takes that 7 seed, though, at the end. Purely because whoever ends up as that 7 seed's got to knock Minnesota out in round one. Don't the 49ers just scream,
oh, yeah,
team that will be unimpressive all year, to playoffs, knock powerhouses out?
I was going to say, would you want to play San Fran in the opening round? Hell no.
Ever. No matter how unimpressive they've ever been, they go in and they win one playoff game.
It's like they're ignoring George Kittle on purpose.
Rubbing their hands together with their little Shanahan schemes.
Just wait. Just watch and wait. I'm anxious to talk about
Jorge McGriddle. Your time will come soon.
I'm anxious to talk about this next one because this week, Josh McDaniels received the dreaded vote of confidence from the owner's box for Las Vegas. Denver has...
You being intrigued
I am intrigued.
Is already more enthusiasm than any human being on Earth has heading into this game.
But here's why. Here's why. Couldn't you see the loser of this game getting canned at the end of the game?
Only if either of their GMs had anything that resembled sense. I am so unconfident in both of these teams' upper management that I think Hackett and McDaniels go the whole year.
I look at this matchup and I think if Las Vegas, as bad as they've looked, go into Denver, who has arguably the best defense in the league, arguably, they're right there statistically in terms of...
Now, you did this to Tampa earlier, so when Denver gives up four straight 28-plus point games, everyone will know who to blame.
Maybe. That's fine. I don't like Denver. But if Las Vegas,
look what you've done.
But if Las Vegas goes into Denver as bad as they've looked and beat the Broncos at Mile High, I think that could be the end for Nathaniel Hackett, because it's not like a good team came in and beat you. A bad, dysfunctional, maybe they should fire their coach team came in and beat you. And the funny thing is about this, you could make the exact argument for the other way too.
Yes.
If Denver wins this game, I mean, how often have we seen it? The vote, that's why it's called the dreaded vote of confidence. It's like, hey, I have confidence in Josh McDaniel. Go to Denver and lose. Can him.
You can see
it happening.
I'm going to take Denver in this one. Las Vegas is sort of the Lions of the AFC, and that they can look as oppressive as they want in these losses. The fact is they keep losing. I think they find a way to lose. Denver will pull out a shrill little, I got it by my fingernail.
Like 1917, something like that.
Around those.
By the way,
shockingly, normally you want a kicker that's on some high-powered offense, so you get the free extra points every now and then. I have the Broncos kicker.
Yeah, I've had him too in my other league.
He's the greatest kicker to have in fantasy. The Broncos offense is so good at getting to the other team's 30 and then just not moving any further.
Yeah,
it's
the best. I've got him in my other league, and he's been great, McManus. or as when he misses, I call him something else.
That's unkind. I'm going to write him a letter and let him know.
I'm actually going Raiders here. I'm going Raiders.
The greatness of the Raiders.
I think Carr and Adams have a good game, and it's enough.
I would love it if Davante Adams could have a great game. But unfortunately, I don't get Packer Davante Adams PPR points anymore. I have to beg for touchdowns to have Davante Adams fantasy-relevant games. What are you doing, almost called them Oakland and Los Angeles in the same breath.
Oak Angeles.
Before getting to the actual city that they play in.
The Lost Land.
Oh, my goodness.
Or the Lost Land Raiders. I like Oak Angeles. That's fun.
The Las Vegas Raiders.
Or the Los Vegas Raiders.
But anyhow, I'm taking Denver. I still find it funny, too.
But I really could see one of these coaches getting fired after this game.
Two Packer assistants got promotions during the offseason, right? So that left what's his nuts up in Green Bay to fend for himself, and their offenses look putrid. So he sucks.
What's his nuts?
So who is the... Why am I blanking on his name? The head coach of the Packers.
Oh, I thought you meant Aaron Rodgers.
No.
LaFleur.
Matt LaFleur, the world's highest paid cheerleader.
Yeah.
Is running their offense into the ground.
It used to be Jason Garrett. Now it's him.
I love it. Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator for the Packers, gets a promotion. His offense sucks in Denver. So the quarterback's coach, Luke Getsy, gets a promotion to be the Bears' offensive coordinator. He right now is the best of the three of them at coaching. It's hilarious. We got the lowest on the totem pole and got the most success out of it.
Well, you never know. You never know who's going to come out of this. This next game, I'm picking...
Oh, this one's so easy for me.
See, I absolutely hate Dallas because I'm a Washington fan. I think Minnesota's a fraud. I cannot pick them. I can't.
They will, once again, win by 3 to 6 points, as is their tradition.
Doesn't it have to end?
No.
They should have lost to Washington. They should
have
lost to Buffalo.
Have you never seen the Minnesota Vikings?
I've watched almost all of the last two games.
No, I'm talking about from the moment you were born to now, do you not know how this story ends? They do this all season long.
And then they lose in the playoffs.
They will not get their proper comeuppance until the playoffs come, and it will somehow be kicker related. And we all know it.
I'm picking Dallas here.
I'm picking Minnesota.
Here's the crazy thing. Minnesota's actually a underdog at home.
Oh, not according to people picking on Yahoo.
Well, according
to 75% of the votes.
Well, according to actual Yahoo.
Vegas.
Yeah. And who's right more often, Vegas or Yahoo?
Me.
Anyway, picking Dallas here. This next one's easy to me. I'm going Bengals all the way in Pittsburgh.
I'm picking Cincinnati. I'm doing it with confidence. The problem is both of us picked them, and both of us did it with confidence. And I think we both picked the Saints with confidence against Pittsburgh last week.
What was up with that?
Why are we so stupid all the time, Dal?
Hey, and you know what? Hats off to Kenny Pickett. He had a nice game.
He had a... he's a rookie. I'm not going to taunt him that much. Give him... Next year,
I'm not going to tease him. It's rude to tease people with handicaps. He's got tiny hands.
Just based on my usual rule.
He has to use both hands to drink out of a water bottle.
I wasn't a huge fan of anyone in this quarterback class, but I'm not going to start calling any of them bad at football until they've had two consecutive years to attempt to.
That's fair.
Yeah, so.
By the way, if Kenny Pickett does that, I actually like Kenny Pickett. I'm just being a dick.
Yeah, I like Mitch Trubisky, so the only reason I would have a vendetta against Pickett at this time is that he's taking precious snaps away from my beautiful baby boy. But
if Kenny Pickett, that's done, man. You don't play your rookie and then go back.
Listen, the Pittsburgh Steelers should simply line up all three of their quarterbacks, determine which of them has the most handsome face, and start that one. All right?
Well, if they did that, then Garoppolo would show up and then he'd be the Pittsburgh starter.
Jimmy Garoppolo has made quite the career on being the most handsome quarterback in the league. And
don't tell me handsome people don't make out better than the rest of us.
Jimmy Garoppolo's been to 5 Super Bowls.
Wow.
So
I've been to none.
But yeah, I'm taking the Cincinnati
coincidence?
Bengals.
I think not.
Jamar Chase spotted still in a crutch. So the projection is he's still 1 to 2 weeks away from being able to play. So that not putting him on IR certainly seems like a giant pile of retardation, doesn't it?
I don't think it's going to matter. They still have the talent.
Oh, they're still going to dominate this game. I just meant the fact that they wasted a roster spot for 4 weeks because they thought, well, maybe he'll come back in 3 and we can get an extra game out of Chase by not putting him on IR.
Yeah.
And he's going to miss 5 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, like, he's going to miss it.
It turns out the doctors are usually right about that.
It's almost like they go to school for 10 years.
I would never want to be a professional athlete's medical advisor.
Me either.
Just knowing myself, the number of arguments I've had with my own doctors saying this right now, telling them how fast I think I should be able to come back to doing stuff and watching them just sit there and with a smile on their face, like, hey, well, you know what? If that happens, go ahead. Like, I'm like, your ability to not lose it is somehow more impressive than your ability to have become a doctor.
So along those lines, I have a brother who's a doctor of physical therapy, a DPT. He graduated from medical school. He's called a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And, when he was getting done with school about 20 plus years ago, he went to USC. For some reason, he still claims them.
I hate him now.
Well, I've told him he claims them because he's still paying for their football uniforms. but it's one of those things where if you talk about not being, people not listening. And I remember he was thinking about what he wanted to do after he got his degree. It's like, and we're like, wow, are you going to, you know, try and work for a sports team? Because we're all sports crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, I don't think so. He's like, I don't think I could handle the egos of the players and the coaches. And then there's pressure. I mean, heaven forbid you misdiagnose somebody and then you're done. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we kind of talked about that. But also to your point, when you talk about guessing and this and that. So he'd been in practice for like 10 years. And they came out to visit me in Laramie. We had a little family function. And my sister, who's the oldest, something's hurting her. And she's like, yeah, this is going on. I don't know what this is. My brother, who's the doctor of physical therapy, goes, He goes, it's this. And he rattles off this big long. He goes, it's this. He says, and it's caused when this, 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 this. And this is what my sister said. Nah, it's something medical. And we still use this to tease him, because guess what? Older sister grew up with you just as the stupid younger brother, and it doesn't matter how much you went to school, you don't know anything. So it's like, so whenever something happens, every so often, like, he'll say something, it's like, nah, it's something medical.
This is beautiful.
It's awesome.
I love weird family. I have a cousin. He's in our fantasy league. He is Hillbilly Likes Pie.
Ooh, that's one of my favorite fantasy names.
Hillbilly Likes Pie is my cousin Jack.
And I play the banjo, so they go together.
My cousin Jack has two of my favorite family weird things that ever happened to him. One of which I think I told you during the state playoffs, but no one listening to this has heard it before, except people that might be in my family. When he hit a game-winning walk-off home run his senior year of high school, and my aunt had video. She posted to Facebook. And the last bit of audio you hear, I still give my uncle crap for this.
This is awesome.
Is my uncle going, everyone's, yeah, Jack, woo!
Amazing!
My uncle, I barely got over the fence. He has since tried to defend himself by saying he was worried because he didn't think it was going to get over the fence, and he was relieved that it did.
It doesn't matter.
Does not matter.
See, to me,
audio exists.
I think you should just own it. Well, you hadn't done a damn thing up until then. I just assumed it was going to be short.
The second of them was during a Thanksgiving get-together when we were kids, and I almost wet myself from laughter. When from the corner of the kitchen, I just hear, ow! We all kind of turn our head over. There's little 10-year-old Jack. He had stepped in a puddle of the dog's water bowl and gotten his sock wet. He turns up to us and he says, I meant you. He not only said it wrong, he said it with the wrong inflection.
He said it with pain.
He confused stepping in the water with having been punched in the mouth or something. And it was the...
You know what? That speaks to his, he must have had a nice growing up, because he didn't experience enough pain or grossness. Good for him.
But anyhow, another interesting tidbit about this game, though. Bengals and Steelers might be coming into it angry. They were supposed to be Sunday Night Football, and the league said, nah, you guys suck.
Flexed them. They flexed them. But moving on, that game is now...
Chiefs?
It's Kansas City at the Chargers.
I always hate when there's games like this, because when it's a game of two teams that are both good and I'm strongly rooting for one team over the other, I always want to pick the team that I'm rooting for. And I know that I'll lose if I do that. The Chargers are not going to beat the Chiefs.
They're not going to win this.
No.
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 Here's what's interesting.
They're too injured.
Now, keep in mind, I love my sister, even though I'm going to make another joke about her right now. So she's a Chiefs fan. And when I say a Chiefs fan, she was literally a Chiefs fan for the entire 50 years in between championships. She was a teenager when they won their first one with Len Dawson sitting on a folding chair smoking a cigarette. She remembered
cigar.
That. Cigar. Was it a cigar? I thought it was a
cigar. Which is at least a little classier for some reason.
No, I don't know about that. It's still a metal folding chair. It's not like he's sitting on it isn't like Joe Burrow on that fancy couch with the giant cigar with his hat that says Big Dick Joe on it. But anyway, so I mean, she's a diehard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about how many heartbreaking seasons the Chiefs had over those 50 years. I mean, just the Marty Schottenheimer years alone.
Yeah, well, the Bears have filled me with nothing but joy, so I could not possibly imagine.
Yeah, so anyway, but... So obviously it was a huge deal and the Chiefs got good again and they went, but now she's on the borderline of being intolerable because now they're good all the time. And I've tried to tell them, it's like, you know, try and have a little, you know, you got a 5-year window. You can't complain about anything for 5 years after a championship. So I always call her out on it. Whenever something happens with the Chiefs, oh, you know, this ain't to do it. Like, no complaints. You won a championship. You still got like 3 years left. And if they win again, it starts over. So they've kind of gone overboard. And so, sorry, I need to shorten this up. So they went and they bought tickets. Keep in mind, they live in Salt Lake City or suburb mm-hmm. thereof. So they bought tickets at SoFi for the Chargers for the sole reason that they can watch some games, but mainly this one.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Chiefs go to Los Angeles. And so she gets on the family thread, the text thread, and says, hey, we got an extra ticket to this game. And we're like, what? Wait a minute. And she acts like one of us is, hell yeah, I'll go. It's in Los Angeles.
To be fair, now granted, we live further than they do in Salt Lake from...
We have to drive 4 hours to get to their airport.
Yeah. My wife and I did pack up over the summer and go see a Sox game because sure. it was in Denver, which was a nice 8.5-hour drive just because that was the closest we were going to get.
Well, and here's the thing. If they were playing Washington, maybe I would consider... Why would I?
Doesn't make sense for you.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't make sense for any of us.
I can get, though, why they bought the ticket.
Yeah.
But that's the closest you're going to get.
But still. But they're also the kind of, they're also like, oh, yeah, we can't do that. We can't afford it. I'm like, well, maybe because you're gone every weekend doing this. Sounds like you're having fun to me. Anyway.
Anyhow, I am forced to pick the Chiefs, even though I don't want. I'll have my Tomlinson jersey on. Having picked the Kansas City Chiefs.
Maybe if Tomlinson's playing, they have a chance.
Well, I don't know. The running back's the problem.
I'm just saying. Is
Tomlinson going to line out wide?
They could use him, though. Just hand him the ball 40 times.
Maybe then Eckler lines up out wide. But they need...
By the way,
they need literally anyone that can catch a pass to be healthy.
Since you brought up Eckler, I am obligated as a Wyoming fan to bring up that his little brother plays for the Wyoming Cowboys.
That's beautiful. I hope the Bears draft him.
He's a starting defensive back for the Pokes.
My dad always likes to, even if it's a joke or not, I can't tell, but anytime a really good former player has a sibling or child that's draft eligible, my dad just wants him as a Bear.
We had a Wyoming player on Chicago and you turned him loose. And now he's starting for the Niners. Tashawn Gibson.
Oh, that's true.
And he was solid. You didn't have to get rid of him.
Well, no. The reason we got rid of him was the same reason we just got rid of Mac. We said, well, you're in your 30s.
Yeah.
And we're rebuilding. So I doubt you want to sit here and go 3-10 and make us pay you $15 million.
I'm sure they did it for his benefit. Whatever. Anyway, you had your chance.
We liked Gibson.
Better get on. Bears signed Tanner Gentry to their practice squad.
I love Tanner Gentry.
And then they released him.
I know. But what a preseason.
Screw the Bears.
What a preseason legend Tanner Gentry was with Mitch Trubisky.
He's good. Tanner Gentry. To me, I keep looking at Tanner Gentry and I go.
He caught Mitch Trubisky's first ever NFL touchdown.
Well, I'm like, how can he not get on the field? He's good. And he's good enough to stick around
mm-hmm.
on a team that doesn't have to keep anybody, although he is Josh Allen's one of his best friends, which is nice. But anyway, now I'm getting off the rails.
You're yelling at me about these players.
I am.
Like, I didn't love all of them. I would put...
You didn't love them enough.
I would put Tashawn Gibson right there in the Cordero Patterson boat of, man... Shame we only had you for 2 years.
Okay, actually, that's a great way to put it. I like Cordero Patterson.
But boy, do I sure love those 2 years we got out of you. Hey, thank you. I'll vote for you for the Pro Bowl for being an ex-Bear.
Yeah, thank you for all the cuts, for all the interceptions.
and for playing with Eddie Jackson through Eddie Jackson's 2 really awful years. And then Gibson leaves and Jackson wants to go back to being an All-Pro again this year.
Yeah, what's up with that?
That's unfortunate.
Rounding in our picks, Monday night, next Monday, San Fran at Arizona. I also don't like Kyler Murray very much. I think he's a diva, and he's not even playing, and Colt McCoy comes in and looks better than him. At least he did this last week.
I would disagree with that statement, but they did win the football game. He was careful-er.
Exactly.
I'll say that. Murray is obviously, though, still... a bigger threat to...
Of course he is.
Which of them is going to give you 4 touchdowns or something?
Yeah, and which one's going to give you 4 picks or 3 picks?
Yeah, that's kind of the...
I just...
Anyhow, I'm taking the 49ers regardless. As a franchise, I like the Cardinals way better. I would root for them normally.
I don't like Kyler Murray, though.
I need this 49er team in the playoffs, though, so they can knock out some of my hated teams. Because they're really good at that, actually.
So they can beat the Giants.
the Giants are my dad's version of that. and sort of mine before this 49er team became a thing, that the Giants' two Super Bowl runs, they were kind enough to knock out every one of the most hateable teams that were in those play. 07, they go into the playoff. Now they beat the Buccaneers. Who cares? Then they say, hey, Aaron, you don't really like the Packers, Cowboys, or Patriots, do you? And I say, actually, as you mention it, those are my three most hated teams in the NFL. Why do you ask, New York Giants? Well, would you like us to eliminate the Packers, Cowboys, and Patriots in this Super Bowl run? Well, you know what, New York? That would be mighty swell of you. Could you?
So how do I look on here where we're ranked?
Oh, you go to weeks. Right weeks. Over here. You're two ahead of me.
Where's weeks?
Is it not on the desktop version?
Right here?
Huh, interesting. It's hard for me to lean over and actually look at the laptop while having the microphone still with
me. All I know is I'm 6 out of 14. I just wanted to see where you were. You're still behind
me. I'm 7th. Yeah, I'm behind you by 2. Kyler has made quite the comeback. The evil laugh comes well short of the finale of this season.
Here's what's interesting is I picked a lot. I picked more than my normal share of... You and I disagreed more this week than we normally do.
Oh, never mind. My Jameis Winston theory is dead and done. I just got a tweet. Head coach Dennis Allen has told reporters that the team will be starting quarterback Andy Dalton on Sunday despite Jameis Winston's availability.
Okay.
So, sticking with the Rams unless Stafford can't play.
But you and I did disagree more this week than we normally do.
Yeah.
So, maybe you'll catch me. Or maybe.
Maybe one of us
you'll
will catch...
You'll be sucking on my exhaust pipe.
Maybe one of us will catch Kyler and McKenzie way up at the top. Yeah. This is our own show, and we're at 6th and 7th.
I'm all right. See, you're prideful. I think it's awesome. Go, McKenzie, go. Maybe she wins the whole thing.
It would be fun if McKenzie won. It would be a lot less fun if any of the other five people.
And I think it would be fun if she won, just because you're one of those guys that when you win, you seem to lord it over people.
And mostly as a joke, but
yeah, oh sure, but I'd like to see her do it to you.
Oh, she. Well, here's the thing, and I've kind of kept track now because she just wants to be involved. Every time there's Sunday or Monday night football, I put on the jersey of the team I'm going to root for, and unless if one of the teams is the Bears, she'll go get her Bears jersey. We'll both root for the Bears. If one of the teams is the Packers or Cowboys or someone I hate, we're in agreement. If it's just two random teams. Every week, she will see who I'm rooting for, go rummage through my closet, grab the jersey of the opposing team, and come sit in the living room just wearing the jersey of the team I'm not rooting for. And right now, she has an absurd record. Now, it's mostly because I root for teams that hurt me, so that's my own fault. But, like, over the last 2 years...
Don't take away her gift.
I'm willing to bet that the team I'm rooting for has won, like, twice. Like, ever?
In 2 years?
Yes.
In 32 games or 34 games?
It's been insane. So clearly there is a gift. The gift does not market itself toward fantasy football, evidently. She's in second to last in both of our leagues that she's in. But in one, we allow pick trading. And next season, I don't even know why I'm going to buy. I'm cashing everything in for this year because she learned very early on that because other teams in our league had stockpiled picks this year. So, like, well, my team, since it's my first year, I just had a normal draft.
Yeah, me
in a
too.
14-man league.
You're going to screw me, aren't you?
Well, we don't do trick.
Or is this a different league?
Yeah, she's not in our main. Yeah, this is the one where we allow draft pick trading.
Okay, all right.
And she goes, oh, well, everyone else has these super teams. I just have a normal team. That doesn't do me any good. Like, I mean, it was week 3. She just started selling all her players. She's like, who wants Justin Herbert? Give me your second round pick next year. Whoop, got him. She said, I got Travis Etienne, second round pick. Thanks. Joe Mixon, first. Anyone? Someone gave it to her. Next year, I can probably even look it up here. No one's going to care about this except people that just love weird fantasy football stories. And no one else sold this hard. Like, all that anyone else has is like one dude has 2/3 next year. Another guy has, okay, one dude has 2 firsts, but then all the rest are normal. So good for him. So, and most people trade like a pick or two. Her entire, so she has Justin Fields as her starting quarterback because she drafted him in round 15, and suddenly
now he's doing decent.
She just upset a guy who, so six teams make the playoffs. The guy was in sixth place. He's now down to eighth because he lost. He lost to Justin Fields and this team of tank artists. She's lost got no players.
Lost to the Fighting McKenzies.
Anyhow, so I'll pull it up here. See her draft picks for next year. It's legitimately ridiculous. So here, hop on in here. So she has, this is her starting lineup now. Justin Fields, Adam Thielen, DeAndre Carter of the Chargers, Devin Singletary, Kareem Hunt, Dalton Schultz, Zay Jones as the flex.
It's not that bad.
And then we go a first round pick, 3 seconds, 3/3, 1/4, 3/5, 2/6, and then after the 6th round, because you can't, you have to give a draft pick back. You have to have 15 picks.
Okay.
She doesn't pick again until round 14.
Who cares?
So she has all the. Yeah, she set up pretty entire well. Draft goes from rounds 1 through 6.
She's like Danny Ainge.
I'm like, why would any one of the rest of us bother playing next year?
That'll be fun. We'll have to keep track of that. But that is it for this week. Anything else to add?
No, we mentioned USC, I guess. Notre Dame and USC in 2 weeks.
Oh.
That, Notre Dame back in the top 20. 3 losses, we're back in the top 20.
Yeah, but they've won a lot of good games.
All of our wins are against ranked opponents, and then we have losses to Stanford and Marshall.
Who's the third one?
We lost to Ohio State by 3.
Oh, that's right. But so, Ohio State's obviously number 2 in the CFP. Yeah. So
that one's less embarrassing. Yes. But this is the most confusing season Notre Dame's ever had.
Hey, they're playing good now, though. That's all you can ask.
Well, all I ask is that right now USC is my... That's my natty, right? Notre Dame, USC. Can we officially kill any dwindling playoff hope USC has? Because right now I believe they're ranked 6th.
What's interesting is you want that, and then the other guy we work with, Duke, is a Utah fan.
Mm-hmm.
They still have to play USC.
I thought they already beat USC. They're USC's only loss. Because I recall...
Did they play this year? Did I miss this?
Yeah, I came into the studio and I thanked Duke. He was sitting in the chair, and I said, "Thank you, Duke. I appreciate you. You beat USC, and I love you forever."
I must have missed that.
It was a shootout, which is not how Utah normally wins football games. But yeah, if Notre Dame can then, I mean, 2 losses, USC's not.
You're right.
In,
yeah, 43-42. I'm sorry, I missed that. Was back on October 15th. I completely forgot it.
We can all be in agreement that if USC gets a second loss, whatever mild hope they have now is dead, right?
Yeah.
So Notre Dame can, we can knock Clemson out of the playoff and USC out of the playoff in the same season. That's almost better than making the playoff yourself. It's not, but it almost is. However, if I might bargain, if they're not in the playoffs, and they shouldn't be at the moment, but if they're not there and they're just in a bowl game, I beg of you, you want it. You want it, NCAA. The ratings would be golden. Give us LSU in a bowl game.
Ooh, that would be awesome.
I want LSU. I want Kelly.
And his disturbing recruiting videos.
His accent that
he looks like he's
varies just, from place to place.
Like he's just a little too comfortable with those guys.
You heard about the tight end, by the way, that Notre Dame yoinked from LSU.
Yeah.
He was the number 1 5-star tight end recruit in the country as a freshman. It was Brad Johnson's son, which is just interesting. The, you know, the old Buccaneers Vikings quarterback.
He played for the Redskins, damn you. That's how I remember Brad Johnson.
Oh, I remember him from going.
They actually won games with Brad Johnson. They were good.
Brad Johnson, you know, everyone likes to, you know, Alex Smith for being a serviceable, mostly unimpressive, decent game manager. It's like, you know, it's a verb to Alex Smith. It feels like Brad Johnson was, like, way ahead of that.
And Brad Johnson did it with an abnormally long neck.
Though Mike Glennon has stolen his giraffe
Street
cred.
I think it's funny that people just now keep adding inches to Mike Glennon's neck
during the photos
and pictures.
But anyhow, yes, Brad Johnson's son, the number one tight end recruit in the country. And if you ever thought of a quarterback that would have children that would be huge, big, buff, tight end athletes, Brad Johnson was never going to be the first name that came to mind.
Probably not, but he is a big guy.
I mean, he is 6'5", yeah. So...
Hey, you can always pack it on.
I mean, I guess his son could always just use the weight room more than he did. Yeah. And then that, yeah. Anyhow, was committed to LSU. Then Brian Kelly announced that he was going to LSU. Brad Johnson's son decommits to LSU. Now he's at Notre Dame. He's a redshirt freshman. We poached him because he didn't want to play for Brian Kelly. And we're going to need him because I assume Michael Mayer is not going to want to come back for his senior season because being a first-round draft pick just sounds like a really nice deal. Now, maybe he's just really loyal to our campus. I say our. I never attended Notre Dame. But just really... really a big fan of his teammates, maybe. Who knows? But when millions of dollars are right there, mm-hmm. to just go be a first-round pick, be the first tight end taken in the draft, like...
Yeah,
he's probably gone.
Oh, yeah. But I think he's gone.
Yeah. Well, maybe we have this... I forget his name now, but whatever Mr. Johnson will come in and be the next Notre Dame tight end. That is the one thing that... Notre Dame seems to be able to do. We crank tight ends out left, right, and center.
Yeah, they're doing good right now at that.
Remember when Michael Mayer beat BYU by himself?
Yep, I did. I appreciate that.
That was hilarious. Dan Dockstetter, our boss, the owner of our fine station here, was texting in the group chat. Why don't we just put all 11 guys on that 87 kid? He seems like he's pretty good. Yeah.
And you're like, I don't know.
You probably could, and he's still probably taller than all 11 of them, so I don't know that it would matter.
Yeah, maybe. All right, we are way over time, Aaron.
Well, that's probably fine. I'll just stretch the video a bit. It's been a wonderful week yet again. We'll see you guys next time. You can catch us on Spotify, on svinews.com/podcasts, and on YouTube. See you all next time.